Hey, tune in to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll give you all the hockey news you need to have, and they're really passionate about their teams.
Hey, what's going on, All in One Sports fans? It's Jim Behringer here. Quick audio for you guys talking about the week that was in sports. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It will be posted to the Facebook group and fan pages of All in One Sports. Before Ricky and I get back together, it's been crazy, crazy weeks. Just busy everywhere. Work's kicking back in. Lots going on in the NHL and the sporting world. Some deaths in the wrestling world, which is unfortunate, tragic stuff. And there's a pay-per-view coming around, AEW All In, London, Wembley Stadium. It's going to be a fun show when you guys are listening to this audio. Pay-per-view will be happening. So there's a lot to dissect when Ricky and I do get back together, but I want to keep you guys updated. No visual for this, but I just want to guys get you updated what's going on in the world of sports. Let's talk about the NHL. Big things happen in the National Hockey League, our bread and butter. And we talked about it, right? Ricky, I got to give him credit, man. Ricky O all over this, all over the Rangers news. Keandre Miller deal, we told you on All in One Sports, it was going to be the number, what it was going to be. Alexis Lafreniere signed his two-year deal, $2.325 million. Again, Ricky O right on top of it, said it all the time. We've been on top of everything. And I have to give credit where credit is due. He's right on the money, as always. Ricky O, he is the man. He's the guy with the Rangers knowledge. I'm the guy with the Devils knowledge. I've told you all the trades that were going to happen, the players that weren't going to be there, and things that were going to happen. And, again, with the Alex DeBrincat trade, it may not have happened the NHL draft, but it did end up happening, and it did happen to the team that we're talking about. So Lafreniere signs his two-year deal. Again, we wondered why it took so long. But again, how much money did the Rangers have? Where could they find the money? Who is he going to get it? But again, you know, Kako took a while last year to sign his deal. But again, we're getting close to September. And we know what Capo Kako wants. He wants a more increased role. He wants more minutes. He wants to be put in good situations so he can flourish. Same with Alexis Lafreniere. He needs to be put in good situations to flourish. Will it happen? We're going to find out. Because it's make it or break it now for Lafreniere. But again, you look at the guys in the 2020 draft that missed time or are struggling with their development. Well, Lafreniere is one of them. Granted, he wasn't put in situations. He was stuck on the kid line last year. But he lost a season of development with COVID coming in, the bubble, not playing, then having a shortened season. You see a Quentin Byfield in LA too. You know, Tim Stützle, he played in Germany that year. So why is he progressing the way he's progressing? Dawson Mercer, same thing, right? You look at that draft class and you say, okay, well, why is Lafreniere? Again, Gerard Gallant didn't put him in great situations, no power play time. The kid line was very effective for the Rangers. They were one of their best lines in the playoffs too. Okay, well, maybe they need to be the second line then, because Filippito is turning into a second line center. He signed his extension. He's ready to go. And you know what? Now is the time to see what these kids got. I know he's not flipping, you know, to the right side, but still, Lafreniere needs to be put on the power play. Same with Kako. And you know what? Look, if you want to keep the kid line together, great. But I think it's time for those guys to be playing top 6 minutes. No more third line kid line. It's third line. If we're going to keep them together, it's second line kid line. Lafreniere and Kako have to produce. And just real quick, so you look at it, right? All right, Jake Sanderson, Jamie Drysdale, defenseman in that draft, goes to Detroit, to Ottawa, Anaheim. They're starting to come into their own. Look for those kids to have breakout years. Lucas Raymond, he's coming into his own with Detroit. He up and down a little bit, but he's starting to become the goal scorer that everybody expected to him. Holtz is a kid. Again, development might have been an issue. Does he fit the system? We're going to find out, right? Real quick. We're going to find out for New Jersey if he's going to fit the system, the Terror Twins. Jack Quinn, this kid's going to be a beast in Buffalo this year. Look out. Perfetti, Marco Rossi's had some health issues, so hopefully he can get it together. Lindell's finally coming into his own. Jarvis, but those guys at the top, right? Those are the guys that, you know, and Braden Schneider. He's coming in to his own too. So we're going to see what happens, right? And a lot of these guys, you know, here and there. And but if you look at the top of the draft, you know, Lafreniere and Byfield lost some time because of development. So it's now time for these kids to take the next step and be put in the right direction. And I think we're going to see it this year with the Rangers. They brought in Peter Laviolette for a reason. So, and he's had success everywhere he's gone. He took three teams to a Stanley Cup final, won a Stanley Cup in Carolina. I know it's a long time ago, but he's always had success wherever he's gone. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Ricky still has them out of the playoffs. Rob Peterson does as well. It's going to be interesting because he does turn teams around quickly, and everybody expects this Rangers team to do good things. However, they're older. Can they keep up? We're going to find out. Other notable signings this past week. Brendan Hagel in Tampa, 8 years, 6.5. Look, they're locking up the rest of their core in Tampa. That's what they're doing, right? They're locking up the rest of the core, and that's what they want to do. And, you know, that's what Brisebois's been doing. But don't forget, Brisebois inherited a team Steve Yzerman built, the triplets, you know, Kucherov, Kucherov, Palat, and Johnson. They developed guys. And now Brendan Hagel came over, finally had a good season last year. The year before, he had to find his role. Middle six guy, going to be asked to play top 6 minutes. He can do it. $6.5 million, he better be able to. But Julien Brisebois is not looking to the future. He's looking to win now. If the cap goes up next year, this keeps the Lightning window open a little bit longer because of Vasilevsky, because of Kucherov, Stamkos on the books. But defensively, you know, they lost Ryan McDonough. You know, Palat's not there. Kalorn's not there. It's a different team. Ross Colton's not there. They have to make up the third and fourth lines, what made them so difficult to play with and against. Look for them to really take that next step when free agency and the salary cap go up next year. Evan Bouchard gets his 2-year, $3.9 million deal with the Oilers, another RFA that was out there that still had not signed. It's a good deal for him. Back-to-back 40-point seasons. He's going to be ready to rock and roll again. The Oilers, that power play, very, very deadly. He's a good defenseman. Now that Tyson Barrie's out of there, he's going to even take his game to the next level. Expect him to get another big payday when he's eligible, which is next year, to get paid. Get that Darnell Nurse-type money. Speaking of getting paid, Austin Matthews, 4 years, $13.25 million AAV with the Toronto Maple Leafs, 4-year deal. This is what he wanted. He wasn't going less than that. He wasn't going more than that. You basically had this kid now for 12 years in your system. Entry-level deal, the 5-year extension, this 4-year extension. Really good. And it's a good deal for both sides, right? And I'll ask Ricky when we do get together finally on video and talk about this and get his thoughts on this. But to me, it's a win-win for both sides. And here's the reason. You don't know what the direction of this team is going to be in 4 years. You have 5 years basically to win a Stanley Cup with Austin Matthews and the team that they put together. Does he want to be a remaining Leaf for life? And he can hit it big again at 30. It's not a bad thing for Bradshaw Living to go 4 years. You got 8-year money on a 4-year deal, and he's going to hit it big again when the cap goes up. McDavid will set the market, Draisaitl, and then Matthews will do it again. He's a smart businessman. This is what he wanted to do. You weren't going to change his mind. The question is what difficult decision are the Toronto Maple Leafs going to have to make, because it's going to come down to Marner, Tavares, Nylander. Somebody's got to go. Nylander's talking like he don't want to go. He wants to play his rest of his career there. That's all well and good. But again, he's asking for the moon and the stars. $10 million player. He probably is a $10 million player considering the way he shows up in the playoffs. Marner, what's his next deal going to look like? As Nylander said, he's not worried. Still got a year left on his contract. He just wants to go play, and that's what he's going to do. And you know what? Expect that from him, and expect him to have another good year, and his number and his value is going to go up even more. Brad Treliving says he wants to get a deal done, hopes he can get a deal done with William Nylander. Okay, so we're just going to run this thing back. Look, in 2 years, John Tavares is probably not going to be re-signed, so that money comes off the books, but still, the Leafs got to do something. Yeah, the additions they made are great, but again, they got to win. And then you have Elias Pettersson in Vancouver, who's talking like he's not sure what he's doing. He just wants to play it out. He's not worried. The fan base is losing their minds. But you know what? Hey, he understands it's a business. He understands he's back to the player that won the Calder Trophy. He's turning into one of the best players in the league as well. And if he wants to just focus on hockey, let him focus, because it shouldn't be a distraction. Because the Matthews things probably would have been a storyline and a distraction in Toronto. Like the storyline, and I don't know if it's going to be a distraction because the Jets handled these kind of situations so well, but Mark Scheifele, Connor Hellebuyck, there are going to be questions asked about why they didn't get moved out, but, you know, they've dealt with it in the past, Laine, Roslovic, Vander Kane, Pierre-Luc Dubois, so lots of storylines to look at. When is Trevor Zegras going to sign his deal? Does it happen before the holiday? A lot of things to kick around in the NHL world, but I just wanted guys to give you a brief update there. Football, look, preseason football continue to go on. Jets and Giants, great. Look, it is what it is right now. You know, it's a preseason. Rodgers looked good, threw his touchdown. Does it really matter? Like I said, Baltimore Ravens had their 24-game preseason streak stopped. It doesn't matter because they didn't win anything. It's like Sweden in the World Juniors, 54 games in a row in a round robin. They won one gold medal. Big deal. Great numbers. It's all intriguing. It's a storyline, but it doesn't matter. College football week zero is here. Look, Notre Dame beats up on Navy. Big deal. So what? Want to see them play real teams. USC, all right, Caleb Williams, the offense looks great. Defensively, they still got some flaws, and those flaws could be exacerbated during the season when they play some good teams. Josh Jacobs, he's ending his holdout, so he signed a 1-year deal, $12 million. He's reporting with the Raiders. And as we talked about numerous times, the young quarterbacks in this league, Trey Lance, said it last time on the show, talked about it, about how he's just not developing, not in that system, can't get rid of the ball. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch took a swing, he missed. Now he's in Dallas for fourth round pick. He'll sit there for a while. Maybe he can understand Mike McCarthy's system a little bit better. But again, 13 games coming from a 1AA school. Again, year of underdevelopment. But he should have been able to pick up the offense. Maybe he's just not as good as everybody thought he was. I didn't think he was great in college, but hey, I'm no expert. I'm not. That's why I'm not on a draft floor. But again, time off really hurt him. Unlike you see Jordan Love, who's thriving in Green Bay right now. Again, preseason doesn't matter yet, but the games don't matter, but the progression of this kid matters because it's the same progression Rodgers went through when Favre was there. So if the Packers are going to do anything, they may exceed expectations, especially with Jordan Love. And, you know, we got to throw in some sad news here in this update. And I know Rick and I will get into it when we talk more wrestling, but the passing of the late, great Terry Funk, one of the best guys to ever do it, one of the best in the business, legend in the business, just gone. You know, I know he had a lot of health problems, underrated actor, underrated performer. Ricky and I even talked about it with Bret Hart, his last match there too. Just a sad day when he passed away. You think the moments with Mick Foley, the NWA, Ric Flair, all these guys, his peers. If you were a late bloomer, attitude editor, you know him as Chainsaw Charlie with the New Age Outlaws. The king of hardcore with ECW. Just a tragic loss there. And even more of a tragic the next day on Thursday, Bray Wyatt's passing. Just unexpected, really, because there were so many positive signs with him. But again, we know what disease COVID can do. Exacerbated a heart issue that he has. and he dies of a heart attack. And it's so sad because he had so much more to give. And I don't want to be critical during this time, but he's just a great, brilliant, creative wrestling mind that was underutilized by WWE. Because when he first broke in with the Wyatt family and everything he was doing on NXT, it was kind of like they put the handcuffs on him and say, you got to do it this way. And they could have let him go so more creatively, similar to what we saw with Undertaker. I think he took some losses at WrestleMania he shouldn't have, and he had his moment with the Undertaker on Raw. I just felt like more there was more to this character than we were seeing. Just a great, brilliant wrestling mind, gone too soon. Tragic death there. But, you know, again, it's just one of those things that hit hard. It's like when you were there for Brody Lee. So, you know, I'm glad to see Eric Rowan and Braun Strowman on SmackDown. But to me, I think you had to do it right. Rollins, Reigns, taking on Rowan and Strowman, main event. Make it about Bray Wyatt. It was a great opening. The 10 bells, the chair, the package, everything was good. Just to show the this is where you can tell Tony Khan gets it. And maybe Triple H wanted to do it, but this is where the writers get in the way in another company. I'm just saying, they made it all about Brody Lee, all that stuff. We didn't really get to see this stuff. It was still too WWE-esque. But again, that's my only knock on it. But again, the wrestlers, the wrestling community, they understand what Bray Wyatt was. You see the great posts about this man. And again, hug your bros. Just hug your bros, and just life's just too short. But this has been All in One Sports Audio Edition. Jim Berenger, Ricky, and I will be back hopefully real soon. We're just getting all schedules together. This was an edition talking to all sports, and of course, some tragic news as well. Jim Berenger, Ricky O, check us out. All in One Sports Facebook group, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back again real soon.